Hello, and welcome to In Conversation With, a podcast from the Lancet Infectious Diseases. It is September 2022, and I'm Liam Messin. This month, I'm joined by Dr. Luciano Morea of the World Mosquito Programme and Professor Heinrich Sausch from the University of Cambridge. I talked to them about their recent study looking at the use of a bacteria, Wolbachia, to control the spread of mosquito-borne infections, chikungunya, and dengue in Rio de Janeiro. I began by asking Luciano how bacteria can affect mosquitoes and the diseases they spread.
Yeah, Wolbachia is a bacterium, is an intracellular bacterium. It's very common in nature. It's present in around 50% of all insect species. Although it's present in mosquitoes that bite us, bite humans, they never been found in Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, the most important vector for dengue, Zika, chikungunya. So this work did, it started in Australia in the lab of Scott O'Neill. They removed Wolbachia from fruit flies, from Drosophila, and then they inserted the purified Wolbachia into Aedes aegypti eggs. And after that, they had a line of mosquitoes containing Wolbachia. And just by producing them in large quantities, just mating them with other mosquitoes, Wolbachia was just stayed in this line. And you have a mosquito that had Wolbachia as intracellularly. And it was a very good discovery there.
Okay, so that is the bacteria. What is it doing to the mosquito and how does this kind of interact with disease spread?
Yeah, a very cool discovery was that when Wolbachia was present inside mosquitoes, inside mosquito cells, it was blocking the replication of viruses as dengue and then later on Zika and chikungunya. Because Wolbachia is inside the cell, it really competes with the things that the virus needs to replicate itself as well. So Wolbachia being there, it's blocking the replication of these viruses. And therefore, the mosquito does not transmit these viruses to other humans. That's the main idea and the discovery.
And speaking of mosquitoes, perhaps you could take us back to 2017 in Brazil and Rio de Janeiro. What's the mosquito situation like in 2017? What's the mosquito control like? Why do we need Wolbachia?
Yeah, it's dengue has been around in the city of Rio de Janeiro since 1980s. It's been a huge problem. Every 4 or 5 years, the city and also other cities in Brazil suffered of epidemics. So have many cases of people getting disease and also dying of dengue. And since then, since 1980s, the way to control mosquitoes were really using chemical insecticides, mechanic destruction of mosquito breeding sites, and as some examples. But this for sure didn't work. And what Wolbachia does is just one more tool to try to reduce this incidence of dengue and having less mosquitoes that are able to transmit dengue in the city. Now, this Wolbachia approach has been around in 11 countries. In Brazil, it's conducted by Fiocruz and supported by the Minister of Health in Brazil.
You described Wolbachia as one more tool to fight mosquito spread diseases. But this one more tool required, in the paper, the release of, if I've got this correct, 67 million mosquitoes infected with Wolbachia. Could you describe to our listeners some of the practical concerns? I mean, what does this actually look like on the ground to release such a lot, seems to me a very large number of insects?
Yeah, this program happened in Rio not just in a few months, was over maybe 3 years in total, just doing lots of areas in Rio. And it also depended on the production of mosquitoes. We have a biofactory in Rio de Janeiro at Fiocruz there, which we produce around nowadays 8 million mosquito eggs per week, mosquitoes with Wolbachia per week. And so the way it worked, we had a very thorough community engagement of the population that lived in those neighborhoods that received the program. So we explained the program. We worked with the health sector. We also worked with education, with schools, also social leaderships to have their support and also the approval to release mosquitoes. And the releases were done by vehicles just driving around streets. And then we would open tubes containing around 150 mosquitoes, males and females, to just open these tubes every maybe 50 meters or so. And these mosquitoes would fly out and they would find their mates, like their other mosquitoes to mate, and also blood sources, like because females, they need blood to produce eggs. And then afterwards, after around 20 weeks, we would do this every week, once a week, we would have Wolbachia being established because we release both males and females.
That's terrific. It seems like this is a massive effort, right? I do have to ask you, though, was there any additional risk to the people of Rio de Janeiro as you are increasing the number of mosquitoes, it seems, which often I think we try and go in the other direction?
Right. At first, when we talked about the program in Rio and with everyone, people would say, you're going to release more mosquitoes to control dengue. They could not understand this. But as we explained how it worked and also doing all these efforts for community engagement, they understood that the release of mosquitoes would be for temporarily, like would just be for some time. And then Wolbachia mosquitoes would just take over the population and stay there. And one thing, like Wolbachia is a naturally found bacterium, is there already in many mosquito species. It's already there. If a mosquito dies, Wolbachia also dies. It does not stay in the environment. They cannot live in outside cells. So it's a very, very safe, it's a natural, safe, and not-for-profit and out-sustainable initiative that we've been working on over these years. And other works in other countries as well, in Brazil, showing that nothing has been changed after the program has been applied in all these places.
Now, Henrik, after this Herculean effort, right, you know, millions of mosquitoes, long-term study. It's actually now time to assess the impact of releasing so many mosquitoes. What does assessment look like on this scale?
That's actually not a very easy question to answer. It's because diseases such as chikungunya and dengue, they're inherently very variable. So you might get, as Luciano mentioned, very big outbreaks followed by tiny little outbreaks for a couple of years. You might have parts of the city which are very heavily affected and other parts which are less so. And so what we'd like to know is the changes we're seeing due to this intervention, all these mosquitoes being released, or is it just something else which is going on, which means we're suddenly seeing fewer cases? And so what we did is we leveraged the fantastic resource, which is the city health department has been systematically putting dots on maps every single time somebody's been getting infected and sick with chikungunya or dengue. So that means we know where in the city these people are living who get sick, and they've been doing this for many, many years. And so what we did is we then developed mathematical models which could actually then characterize what is this underlying patterns of cases for both chikungunya and dengue throughout the city. We could then predict where and the number of cases you would see each month going forward, and then we could compare to what we actually observed in the release zones to give us an idea of the impact of this enormous release program.
And then the question is, I mean, what was the outcome? Was it successful?
Yes, it certainly was successful. Somewhat surprisingly, the penetration of Wolbachia into the wild-type mosquitoes wasn't as high as we've seen elsewhere. In some previous release areas, it's very quickly Wolbachia took over completely from and was able to penetrate the wild mosquitoes pretty quickly. Here we have not seen that. It's around, after 2.5 years beyond the releases, you're around about a third of the wild mosquitoes have Wolbachia, which actually allows us to answer slightly different questions in that actually, if you have these intermediate levels of penetration, we call introgression, in the wild population, what does that actually mean for incidence? And we found that even though we didn't have complete takeover, you're still at around 40% reduction in dengue incidence in the release zones and around 10% reduction in chikungunya. Places that were able to have a greater level of penetration had a higher impact, which is also very, very encouraging. Now, if we think there are on average something like 30,000 dengue and 15,000 chikungunya cases each year, they get reported to these city health departments. And it's worth noting that behind that, there are certainly many more infections and cases that aren't reported as well. You've got to think that this is really a very exciting technology, which has the potential to massively reduce the number of cases each year. I think another point to note is that we were very excited by seeing an effect both on chikungunya and dengue, which are actually two completely different viruses in terms of the viral families. We suggest this one intervention can actually has a potential to have a broad impact across different infectious diseases transmitted by mosquitoes.
Luciano, I was wondering if you could give us just a little more kind of mechanistic details of how Wolbachia is actually spreading. I mean, as Henrik said, it only reached, but it reached a third of the population. Why isn't it spread throughout the mosquito population?
Okay, so the way Wolbachia spreads into natural population is that through the male cytoplasmic incompatibility. The way it does is, if you have a male mosquitoes with Wolbachia that will cross with an uninfected female, that female will become sterile. So she won't produce any viable eggs. On the other hand, females that have Wolbachia, they can cross with a mate with positive or negative males, and all of its progeny will have Wolbachia, which is a very manipulation of reproduction, if you want to understand like this, and in a way to guarantee that Wolbachia will be present there. The way it worked in Rio is because Rio is very, very diverse in terms of landscaping, environment, social distribution, and urbanization. So it's very very challenging to have Wolbachia spread in a natural, in a quick way. So, for instance, in favelas, we had to rely on the work with health agents, which are very good partners from us. But yeah, sometimes because of violence and security issues, they could not get in. And for 3-4 weeks, they could not get in there. And that's why in some places, Wolbachia does not spread as nicely as in other more regular, organized situations.
You both sort of touched on this, that perhaps this approach has, you know, shown higher penetration elsewhere. I mean, where else has this been tried, Henrik?
So, yes, since it was first developed in Australia, that's actually where they first trialled it, in northern Australia, which will have dengue outbreaks once in a while. And there it was very successful and was able to show that it quickly took over the local mosquito population. Since then, it's been trialled in a few different places in Asia, including Vietnam and cities in Malaysia. And now each time showing really quite promising results. To be fair, they've also for all been so far done on dengue virus. And this is why this study in Rio, which also was able to look at chikungunya, is very exciting, because it's the first time we're able to see in a real world setting that it was able to have an impact on a different virus as well.
Thank you. And then Luciano, what's next? You know, is it more cities? Is it more places in Brazil? Is it other countries? What are you up to next?
Yeah, at the moment, we are already working in other regions in Brazil. For instance, in the west, in a city called Campo Grande, in the center of Brazil, in the capital of Minas Gerais, called Belo Horizonte, and also in Petrolina, in the northeast part of Brazil. The idea is to see whether Wolbachia is able to invade populations in the different biomes in Brazil. That's the main idea. And it's been, results so far has been very promising, encouraging, and we hope that we'll have some results soon that, as we saw in the this paper with Henrik.
Henrik, is there any other future work you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, so certainly the mosquitoes are very complex beings. We don't always understand why an intervention like this might work in one area or less well in another area. And so working with groups such as Luciano's who are able to do these big release programs and then actually monitor what happens post the releases is going to give us a better really understanding of how best to deploy these kinds of interventions in the future.
And lastly, Henrik, speaking of the future, I think hopefully at this point it's inarguable that the climate is changing. We're seeing a warming world. Do you think we're going to need more of these sorts of measures in the future and in more places, I suppose?
Absolutely. As Luciano mentioned, this is a very exciting technology. Our best efforts to date have been relying on trying to kill adult mosquitoes and with chemicals, and that hasn't worked or has worked only minimally in most places. Absolutely, climate change is changing the habitats of mosquitoes and expanding the range which they can occupy. And so having new tools is going to be critical in our ability to slow down the spread or ultimately, hopefully, stop the spread of pathogens such as dengue fever and chikungunya and potentially other ones as well too.
You can read Dr. Moreas and Professor Sauz's research online now on thelancet.com. Thank you both, and thank you for listening. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you usually get your podcasts.